Today's devotional is Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and tend your flocks. Foreigners shall be your plowmen and vine dressers. But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God. You shall eat the wealth of the nations, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. Okay, so we're in the last week of the book of Isaiah for us. And today we have another famous passage, chapter 61. This chapter is about the year of the Lord's favor in verse 2. We'll be looking at all of the blessings that the year of the Lord's favor entails, but we should also note that from verse 2, this goes hand in hand with the day of vengeance of our God. As we've seen throughout Isaiah, God will reward those who seek him, and he will judge those who live as though he doesn't exist. So this is also seen in verse 8, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. As a God of justice, he will bless the just and punish the unjust one day." Now, let's look at the blessings in the year of the Lord's favor. Right from the first few verses, Isaiah says he has been anointed to bring good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. All the people just mentioned in verse 1, some who properly fit into several of these four categories, the poor, brokenhearted, captives, and bound, they receive what they have been longing for, but unable to obtain on their own. And similarly, for those who mourn in Zion, in the year of the Lord's favor, they'll receive comfort in place of their state of mourning. Verse 3, Isaiah is to clothe those who mourn in these three different ways: with a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit. Think about a time of mourning or brokenness in your life, or in somebody's life who's close to you. And then picture in that moment exchanging those feelings and thoughts for gladness and praise, for being strengthened. I'm reminded of the prodigal son story, where the prodigal son returns home just hoping for a bit of mercy, but instead the father orders the best robe, the best sandals, and the ring to be put on him. This is extravagant grace where there didn't have to be. Verse 3 ends with another striking image of those who mourn, being called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Oaks symbolize a really stable and immovable planting. In the year of the Lord's favor, the down and outs of the world are tremendously blessed by God, so that God would be glorified. The remaining verses also highlight the blessings of God in the year of his favor. A theme that comes out of this is that other nations will acknowledge the blessing. Verse 5 talks about how strangers and foreigners would work the Israelites' fields and flocks. And then verse 6 says, "But you shall be called the priests of the Lord. They shall speak of you as the ministers of our God." Israelites would be called priests and ministers of God. Priests and ministers, their job is to mediate between God and the people. So I think we could say that the foreigners would be blessed through the Israelites, and they would experience part of God through him, through them. This is more clear in verse 9. "Their offspring shall be made known, shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed." It's like when you see a brother or sister experience God's blessing, and you are genuinely happy for them. You can't be jealous because it's not their doing, but it's simply God at work in them. Okay, so in this passage, we've seen what the year of the Lord's favor is, but when is this going to happen? When was this to happen? In this section of the book, Isaiah is prophesying to the Israelites who were going to return from exile many years after the time of his prophecy. The returning Israelites would have been the poor, brokenhearted, captive, bound, mourning, and so on. So this was a tremendous message of hope. Fast forward over a century later to the end of the exile, we know that God indeed blessed them, blessed the Israelites undeservingly, by allowing a remnant to return to Israel and rebuild the city and temple. Isaiah's prophecy came true to a certain extent in this way. However, as you may know, this prophecy is ultimately fulfilled by Jesus. Luke 4:17-21 reads, "And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' And he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, 'Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing.'" Jesus reads a slightly modified version of verse 1, and he makes it clear that he fulfilled this scripture by being the one sent by God to proclaim the good news, liberty, and so on. It means that the audience were the poor, the captives, blind, and oppressed, which was true physically and spiritually. And we too are like the audience of Jesus' day. We're spiritually poor, captive, blind, and oppressed until we've accepted the tremendous grace of God through Jesus. We cannot do anything to get out of that state on our own, but that's why Jesus came, to usher in God's liberty, sight, and good news. Today, let's remember how much we have received from Jesus and praise him. Isaiah in verse 10 responds in gratitude, knowing he is the recipient of all the things that he is proclaiming. And we can pray the same thing, knowing that we are recipients of these amazing blessings through Jesus. Verse 10 says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. So let's respond in praise and thanksgiving for what Jesus has given us. At the same time, let's also pray that we would be priests and ministers of God's favor to those around us, especially for those who do not know Jesus personally yet. Let's pray that they would see God's presence in our lives, and that God would use us to tell them about how God loves them too, and he desires to be present in their lives as well. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this passage of Isaiah 61, and Lord, I feel like we just scratched the surface of it. But God, nonetheless, we thank you for that Jesus, we know that you fulfilled this prophecy. And God, we have experienced tremendous favor, your favor so much because of Jesus, because he has brought us liberty and good news and sight and everything else, God. Lord, we pray that we would really understand this blessing, that it would never grow old or stale to us. But God, we could continually rejoice in it. And Lord, that we would also be your ministers and priests to those around us. We thank you, God. We pray for your spirit to come upon us and help us to walk in this way. In Jesus' name we pray.